And I'm not sure if you if we paid for the... Do people take those home with them? Yeah. Just if you got them... We just expect you to leave them and come back after the second service. Is that correct? No, that's not right. Turns out there was a traveling salesman. He's driving down the highway. Oh, yeah, just having a normal day. And the Easter Bunny hops out in front of his car. He's got a basket full of eggs and candy. And the businessman cannot get out of his way. Smacks the Easter Bunny. Candy goes flying. Eggs go flying everywhere. And wouldn't you know it? Bunny's over in the side of the ditch, and oh my goodness, the businessman pulls over, stops, looks and sees the bunny is dead. He starts weeping, crying, I've ruined Easter. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, a lady pulls up in the car, Good Samaritan. Yeah. And he says, I just killed the Easter bunny. And she says, I got just a solution. Don't worry about a thing. She says, what do you mean? She goes to her trunk. She pulls out a spray can. She sprays it all over the Easter, empties the can all over the Easter Bunny. And wouldn't you know it, Easter Bunny comes back to life. Yeah, and then he goes down the road about 50 yards and waves back. Another 50 yards, waves back. Another 50 yards, waves back. And the guy says to her, what was in that can? Would you please tell me? Well, she turns it around and she shows him. And there it reads, hairspray, restores life to dead hair, adds permanent wave. You were waiting. Ben, that was bad, wasn't it? You really shouldn't have gotten up for that, man. You should have gone to the second service. I'm sorry. Well, you guys responded well. I might use that in the second one. Because I have two test jokes this morning. The second one I can't share with you. There's not enough time for the second one. See me after the service. Has anybody had their dreams crushed? We've all had our dreams crushed, have we not? Maybe it was about your career. You thought you'd be a doctor, lawyer, jet pilot, whatever, but you didn't quite qualify. I wanted to be a lawyer. Couldn't get my LSATs high enough with my GPA. Couldn't do that. Maybe you wanted to be a teacher. Maybe you got a job as a teacher, and then you found out that it wasn't all you thought it was cranked up to be. Maybe you had dreams crushed about your marriage. You thought you married Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, and... until all of a sudden, didn't work anymore. Or your loved one died, got cancer and was gone within 6 months. Or mental illness struck, counseled that one. Her husband had traumatic brain injury and the wife was afraid of getting hurt because he was getting violent. So there's all kinds of things. We might have had our dreams crushed about our families. You invested into your kids. You spent hours with them. You raised them right. And now they don't want to have a thing to do with the faith. Not only that, they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to call you. They don't want to see you. They don't like you. And that doesn't make any sense either, right? You don't know what the future holds. And you're sometimes we all feel like that person who said, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. But then I found out it was a train. Scott Peck said it well. He said, at the beginning, first line in The Road Less Traveled, which is a classic work, he said, life is difficult. Life is hard. Life was hard for the disciples as well. They were with Jesus when Judas betrayed him. They saw the great crowd come with clubs and swords, and he was arrested. You know, Judas gave him the kiss on the cheek, and all of that happened. And guess what the disciples did at that point in time? Scripture says, they deserted him and fled. Now, Peter was at a short distance, right? He watched as all that kind of went down. We remember Peter was asked three times, you're one of him. We read that Friday night, you know, in the Tenebrae service. And Peter denied it three times. What fair weather friends, right? Anybody have fair weather friends besides me in your lifetime? They were with you until the going got tough. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, but... some people don't get going. Some people get going out the door. They had seen him for 3 years, healing the sick, right? Raised Lazarus from the dead. Gave speech back to those who couldn't speak. Hearing back to those who couldn't hear. Walking back to those who couldn't walk. They'd seen that for 3 years. They'd seen him do all of these miracles. And what do? When times get tough? They out the door, as they would say in the hood, you know? All the disciples left him and fled. Now, we think, though, don't we? I would have stuck with him. I never would have left him. No way. I would have stayed there. True. You know, the only real loyalty was like Peter. It was a little crazy. But he took the sword, cut off the ear of, if you give me the right name, you get a toaster oven. It's over there in the fellowship hall. Who was Malchus? There it is. We have a winner. Larry, is that your dad? Yeah. Okay. He knows his Bible. All right. We're glad for that. Yeah. There was some loyalty there, wasn't it? And then Jesus says, put the sword away. And he heals Malchus's ear because he knows what's got to happen. But you know what? Don't pat yourself on the back just yet. Because we all leave Jesus whenever we sin. When we don't follow the Father's will. Remember, Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't like what was happening to him, but he accepted it. And he went to the cross for you and for me. So we can't really pat ourselves on the back. We're kind of like the disciples. We desert them. We flee. And you know where the disciples went? Except for John. The scripture says they went to their homes. In John chapter 20. They went to their homes. Hiding, kind of. So we only see one of them, the 11, at the cross. And that was the Apostle John. Remember? When Jesus says, this is your mother, this is your son. John's the only one we read about that I could find that was near the cross. You know who was at the cross, though, and didn't flee? The women. The women, you see that in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. A group of women, out of their own means, supported Jesus and the disciples. They saw him crucified at a distance, but they weren't in their homes, right? They were right with him through thick and thin. The disciples must have found out somehow that Jesus had been crucified and that their dreams had been shattered. Their hopes for a political Messiah who would overthrow the Roman government and reestablish Israel as a nation of God, as reestablish a theocracy there with God on the throne, were shattered. Just like our dreams are shattered sometimes. Now they're sitting at their homes, crying in their wine. They were living somewhere between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They had forgotten Isaiah 53:6, which says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord God has laid on him, the suffering servant Messiah, the iniquities of us all. They had skipped that part of their Old Testament. They had forgotten that first Jesus Christ comes as the Lamb of God and returns the second time to judge the living and the dead as the Lion of Judah. Right? First the lamb, then the lion. So they couldn't accept that. They skipped over that part. Jesus had told them many times, as Luke tells us in chapters 9, verse 22 and 44, and 18, 31 and 32, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. They just didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't remember it. And as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, their hopes and dreams for deliverance from Rome and a military political Messiah died as well. They were hopeless, living somewhere between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Now, are we living in the same place? Are we living somewhere between Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Has our hope vanished? Are we crying in our wine like the disciples did? Are we hopeless, full of despair, disappointment, discouragement? Because like the disciples, we don't know where our Jesus has gone. Are we like them hiding out on Holy Saturday, not thinking he could possibly be raised from the dead on Easter Sunday? Luke tells us the women who ministered to Jesus saw him when he had been where he had been laid, and they went back to prepare the spices and ointments for his body on Friday. The Sabbath was Saturday, so the scripture says they rested. And then on Sunday, the first day of the week, they went to the tomb. Now, it seems that even though these loyal and devoted women who had followed him from Galilee, ministered to him, supported them out of their own monies, they had forgotten what Jesus had said. Luke tells us when they didn't find the body of Jesus, they were perplexed. They were puzzled about this. In a flash, two men show up in dazzling apparel, and the women were frightened and fell to the ground. The men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." But these men don't stop there. They say, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day rise?" It was at that point that they too remembered. But obviously they had forgotten Jesus' prediction of his resurrection, of his death, burial, and resurrection, or the angels wouldn't have had them remind them of it. So do we forget the same? Do we forget that he was going to be raised from the dead? Do we focus on his suffering like our Catholic friends who kind of have crucifixes, which kind of reminds us of his suffering for us, which he did, but we don't have him on the cross because why? Because he was raised from the dead. Do we focus on our suffering or on his resurrection as well? So maybe we need to understand why Jesus had to be raised from the dead for us to remember. Paul tells us in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and raised for our justification. Justification. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, if he hadn't been raised from the dead, we would still be dead in our sins and our faith would be in vain. If our hope was only in Christ for this life, like thinking of him as a good moral example for us to follow, then Paul says we are of all people most miserable or to be pitied. You see, if God the Father had not accepted Jesus' payment for our sins, he would not have raised him from the dead. And Luke says all through Acts that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and we would still be dead in our sins. Our faith would be futile and worthless. Everything hinges on the resurrection. Without it, we could not be justified. God accepted Jesus' payment for our sins and raised him from the dead, proving that we are justified. But what does justification mean? It's a big word. Put succinctly, it's a legal term that means declared righteous or acquitted of any charges against us. Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession, which is a confessional Lutheran, or as confessional Lutherans, we believe, teach, and confess, states, our churches teach that people cannot be justified, declared righteous, before God by their own strength, merits, or work. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith. When they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, by his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts our faith for righteousness in his sight. We see this in both Romans 3 and 4. But why do we need to be justified? Well, God is a just God. He's a holy God. And justice demands payment for our sins. The wages of sin is, somebody's got to pay. We can, or we can let Jesus. God in his mercy sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us to satisfy God's wrath against our sin. But God, this is the interesting part, is the one who justifies. Jesus Christ is the only one who could pay for our sins because he was the only sinless, perfect, eternal sacrifice that could satisfy a sinless, perfect, holy, eternal God's wrath against sin. Paul tells us in Romans 3, 23 through 26, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God is both just and the justifier. What does that mean? Well, a story told by Brennan Manning in my favorite book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, is about the Fiorello LaGuardia. He was the mayor of New York City. Excuse me, back in 1935. He was called the Little Flower because he always wore a flower in his lapel. He was about 5'4". He was the mayor. And as mayor, he could dismiss a judge and he could sit in the court. And so one night, one of the coldest nights in January of 1935, he turns up in night court and he dismisses the judge, tells him to go home. And with that, a tattered woman, a tattered old woman, is brought before him with the charge that she had stolen a loaf of bread. Well, the grocery store owner, and if you're from the East Coast, you know those grocery stores were on street corners, right? And the owners of the grocery would live above it. And it'd just be this little kind of deli and market. They're all over, and they're great usually for the food that they have. But the grocery store owner would not let go of the charges. And so LaGuardia says, asked the lady to explain. She says, well, my daughter's husband left her. She is sick, and her two children are starving. So I stole a loaf of bread. Grocery store owner refused to drop those charges. And he says to LaGuardia, he says, it's a really bad neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson. LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and he said, I've got to punish you. $10 or 10 days in jail. But as he said that, he was already pulling out his wallet. And he extracted a bill and tossed it into his famous sombrero that he put there, saying, here is the $10 fine, which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that their grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. So the following day, in the New York City newspaper, reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of the amount being contributed by the grocery store owner, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave Mayor LaGuardia a standing ovation. LaGuardia demanded that the crime be paid for, but made the payment himself for her crime. All she had to do was receive it. You see, God does the same, does he not? He demands we keep the law, and he knows that we can't. So he provided his son to die in our place to pay for our sins, so that now we are declared righteous, not by anything we do, but by faith in Christ alone. But he gave us more than $47.50. Not only did he do this for us, he gave us the grace and the faith to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died in our place. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I've said it before that it in Greek is neuter. Faith is masculine. Grace is feminine. It refers to both. Okay? So the grace and the faith are gifts of God. So he did way more than just provide it for us. He also gave us the faith to receive it. And we receive it in the waters of our baptism or when we hear the gospel. As Luther told us, he said, remember our baptisms. Why? Because in the waters of our baptisms, we were forgiven for our sins, given the Holy Spirit, made new creatures, and raised to walk in newness of life. The disciples and the women had forgotten the promise Jesus made of his resurrection. And after their memories were jogged, they went to the apostles, the women did, and told them that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And the disciples, but the disciples, wouldn't you know it, what do they say? This is nonsense. Nonsense. You know, it was the same word, nonsense, used by Greek medical doctors to denote the babbling of a fevered or insane mind. Those disciples thought, these ladies are nuts. They're all hanging out together, right? They weren't very encouraging. These boys were depressed, discouraged, disappointed. Their dreams were gone. Their Jesus was gone, for sure. Except for one disciple. Possibly two. We read that in another gospel. We read here that Peter, the guy who denied Jesus, who wept bitterly after that, so he was depressed, hanging out, you know. Guess what he does? He runs to the tomb. If anyone would go there, we wouldn't think it would be Peter, that denier, that bum, the lousy follower of Jesus. Everything, you were a rot, you were, you know, you God revealed it to you that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you're kind of the leader of the disciples, the apostles. That denier, we wouldn't think it would be him. But you and I are like him as well, are we not? But now he runs to the tomb. He runs to the tomb. Maybe he thought there's hope. Maybe there's hope for even me. Even though I denied him, maybe God can resurrect someone even like me. Maybe God can raise me up. He ran to the resurrection, even though he was hiding out in his home. And we should run as well to the resurrection. When we're depressed, run to the resurrection. When we feel like a failure, run to the resurrection. When we're discouraged, run to the resurrection. When we're hopeless, run to the resurrection. And remember how he raised up Jesus, and he's raised us up in the waters of our baptism to walk in newness of life. May we no longer live somewhere between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. May we live remembering Christ's resurrection and ours. And all God's people said,
amen.